Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the FCB Radio Network, home of the best personalities and where real talk lives. Online at FCBRadio.com. FCB.
Welcome back to another episode of Marble Halls and Silver Screens. My name is Sarah Lee. I am back talking to you from a very warm Washington, D.C. I was going to spend the weekend maybe museum hopping a little bit, but it's going to be, we've got a heat wave coming. It's supposed to be like close to 100 degrees on Saturday. So now I'm like, how much do I really want to get out there and walk around the mall? So that's what I'm facing this weekend. What are you guys up to? So I feel like I'm back in Georgia with this mild heat wave, which I will be back in Georgia soon enough. So, you know, I feel like I never left. So this episode today is going to be kind of short. There is a lot going on out there, but I just have a few things I want to talk about. First, I want to talk about this disinformation governance board that was here and then it's gone. And particularly Nina Jankowicz, who was supposed to head it up. The only word I can come up with is her silliness. She seems like just a very, very silly person. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I had gotten a tip to watch a fantastic TV show called The Chosen. It's about the life of Jesus, which is one of my all-time favorite topics. I got a minor in religion. I'm Catholic. And I just love the story of these kind of world changers who came from really very, very, very humble means. And they were not the best guys, frankly, or women. So, and then they became these amazing martyrs for this system of belief. So it is one of my favorite topics. I am watching The Chosen. There are a couple of seasons, but I haven't gotten through it enough to talk about it just yet. However, I have watched The New Kids in the Hall, which is the other, that is at the polar opposite end of the spectrum from The Chosen in almost every fundamental way. But I'm going to review that or offer my thoughts on it. You know, I don't really do straight reviews. And then finally, I just want to talk a little bit about what's going on with Netflix. Very interesting. They seem to have decided to back off the sort of woke push that they had made. And they were one of the early adopters of the woke mentality and ideology. So I want to talk a little bit about what's changed there. But before we talk about all of that, let's go ahead and hear from our sponsors. Sit tight. When we get back, we'll jump into all those topics. Hopefully I'll keep it pretty short for you guys today. Then we can all go out and enjoy the heat wherever we may be. So sit tight. We'll be right back.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All righty, and we're back. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this disinformation governance board that the Biden administration decided was not only going to police disinformation online, it was out of the Department of Homeland Security, but I think it was also going to be defining what disinformation actually is, which is a problem. When you've got a very partisan ideological governance board from a hyper-partisan political party defining what is wrong think and then policing it, you have a problem. I mean, this is not rocket science. This is very, very simple. And of course, they did this a couple of days after Elon Musk, who they are now coming after like he is Satan himself, which of course was to be expected. And he actually knew that too. And he's gotten in front of it fairly well. Although now they're starting with the Me Too stuff. And, you know, apparently he paid out a sum of money for this woman who, to this woman who had accused him of sexual impropriety. This is not, I'm not making a statement on the truth or falsity of the, of that. I just know that this is very much inside their wheelhouse. This is a playbook that they go by. So anyway, they're going after Elon, but when he mentioned he was going to be interested in buying, and I think he may have actually indicated that the deal had been agreed to, all of a sudden this Department of Homeland Security Governance Board, is a disinformation governance board, is established. Coincidence? I mean, you know, I guess that's up for you to decide. The news now, though, is that, and they put to head it up this woman called Nina Jankowicz, who has some really sketchy associations with a Hungarian, I'm sorry, with a Ukrainian group called Stop Fake. At the day job, we've been looking into who that group is. It's hard to see because they're not incorporated or established here in the States. And so their tax documentation isn't readily available. But we've discovered some interesting associations there, which I'll keep to myself until I'm ready to write about them. But you can look that up. You can see other people have already started writing about them. So, and Jankowicz herself is this strange, sort of a strange person herself. Her personality notwithstanding, she's what we like to say in the vernacular. She's a theater nerd. She's a drama geek, right? So she's out there on videos singing her, you know, political ideology in a fair to middling sort of operatic musical theater voice. It's very, very, all very odd, okay? But what the biggest problem about her was, and Jerry Dunleavy from the Washington Examiner has a great thread on this today on Twitter. She herself has been involved in some pretty sort of heinous and ultimately disproved politicking and policy lies. She apparently went off, and Dunleavy found a bunch of her former tweets and some articles where she was quoted, and he did this wonderful thread on, you know, she was pushing the Alpha Bank disinformation campaign that's now part of the Durham trial. She has talked about, she wrote a She wrote an article or was quoted in an article in Wired magazine talking about how she's just trolled constantly. But, you know, she also was out there pushing Russia collusion claims, which we now know were ridiculous and created out of whole cloth from Christopher Steele's dossier. She talked about intelligence coming, or that the U.S. had on Iran, casting doubt on this intelligence, And it had to do with, you know, Trump's reelection chances. She was out there talking about the lab leak theory, and she kind of suggested that the Wuhan lab leak theory was boosted by Russia. I mean, she's just been out there talking a bunch of trash, much of which has already been disproven, and some of it is dubious at best. So this is who they were going to head up, who they had, you know, decided should be the head of a disinformation board. It's all too absurd. It's like something out of, you know, an Ayn Rand novel. It's so in your face that it's hard to believe they're doing it, but they are. Now, they have decided to disband that governance board. But of course, the line now, and she's out there talking about it, is that, oh, we were undone by the same disinformation we were trying to address. This is all so insulting. It's insulting to people of intelligence. It's insulting to people who actually prefer that they be allowed to just speak their minds. It's insulting to business owners like Elon Musk, who are sort of being initially soft bullied, now very hard bullied into backing off of potential business deals that they're trying to make. This is the party that currently holds the reins in Washington. So it's a very strange time. I don't think we've heard the last of this attempt to define disinformation. I expect that they'll continue. They'll just do what they always do, which is call it something different, make it come out of a different agency, threaten and bully. Right now, they're doing that a lot with businesses to kind of get them on board this idea of, you know, if you don't ascribe to these ways of thinking, then you are not to be dealt with, and, you know, they come after them. So using their sort of Antifa men on the ground and at the high levels with regulation, they're doing a lot of talk about antitrust right now. So, which, you know, I think that's a discussion we need to have, but I definitely think that conservatives are going to come from it in a very different way than the progressives in the Democrat Party. So there's a lot happening in this space right now, and Nina Jankowicz is just sort of, I expect this to have been her 15 minutes of fame. I don't think that she'll pop up again. They're going to find someone much more competent to try to sell this idea of policing disinformation online. So keep an eye out for that. But the fact that they're trying to do this at all, look, I'm just going to say from my personal opinion, yes, there are some things, threats and things like that are already covered under the law. Do we want to try to tamp down on things like that? Yes. But they're using those sorts of rational, the rational need not to allow people to be threatened, not to allow their personal information out there where they could actually be physically harmed. Those are real concerns in terms of information sharing online. But they're using those concerns to also say, oh, and the fact that you just politically think differently than I do, that is also threatening. That is also making things unsafe for me. I mean, Patrice Cullors of Black Lives Matter just did this, where she talked about, I think Candace Owens showed up at her outside of her house and had a pretty friendly conversation with the security guard and said, I just want to ask her some questions. They turned her away and she left. And they did this, Candace Owens did a really interesting side-by-side video comparison because Patrice Cullors was in her house taking a video of herself. While Candace Owens was outside, and she was freaking out about how she was unsafe, this isn't safe for her, and literally there was not any harm, there was no threat to her with Candace just being outside her house. Patrice also did this with the IRS rules recently when she discovered that they were in trouble for not filing their taxes properly and filling out their 990s properly. She kind of suggested that, you know, the whole nonprofit thing wasn't safe either, and that the criticisms made her unsafe. So this is what they're doing. Any legitimate criticism becomes a threat. And we've got to be, we have to be aware of that as much as we have to. That is disinformation in itself, which is the point Jerry Dunleavy was trying to make on Twitter. That's as much disinformation as somebody, you know, just straight up lying on Twitter. And are they both equally damaging? I mean, I would say that if they're being used to threaten and intimidate, they're worse, which means that what the left is doing is worse than just some rando on Twitter saying, you know, the sky is green. So those are my thoughts on this disinformation nonsense. I've written some about it. If you know who I am and you know my Twitter feed, you can find what I've written about it. It's and Jankowicz herself is just a silly individual. And I suspect that they put her out there as the sacrificial lamb to introduce this. They didn't worry. It didn't matter to them that she was going to be criticized. They knew that. She's extraordinarily silly. But they wanted someone as a sacrificial lamb, I suspect, to introduce this idea that they were going to start policing and disinformation online. That's the real thing that's happening. She was a sideshow and a shiny intended to get everyone's criticism while they are actually working to make this kind of policing thing happen. So it's not the last we'll hear of it. And I hope that, you know, on the conservative side and on the Republican side, they'll address it accordingly. I mean, we've got an election coming up in 2022, the end of 2022. And if the Republicans make the gains that, you know, they're expected to make, I hope they come out swinging at this stuff. And if you don't know why free speech is crucial to a free society, if you need help understanding that, you know, I can't explain it to you in the short time that I have. I would suggest you go and read the Declaration of Independence. That was a letter to the world about what was happening in the colonies and why they were going to try to, they were willing to die to fight against it. And that will explain a lot for you. So go read that and then read the Constitution. you know, read the amendments. There's a fair amount of justification for the amendments actually in the amendments. So, and the first being the one we're talking about here. So I would encourage you to go do that. If you're young and you're listening to this, please go do that. They're not hard to read. They're short. So yeah, I carry the Constitution around with me. In my bag, and I refer to it sometimes just to get my head straight as I see the things going on around me. So, yeah, free speech is crucial. Threatening speech, those things are already dealt with in the law, and we have a way of kind of making sure that those things are taken care of, but we do not need our federal government telling us, defining wrong think and kicking people off or shutting them down because they don't agree with certain policy positions or, you know, I don't know any better way to say it than that is just a threat to freedom. Okay, moving on from that, let's talk a little bit about the Kids in the Hall. I watched the Kids in the Hall, some of their early stuff back in college. One of my roommates was a huge fan. She introduced the Kids in the Hall to us. I've recently started dating someone who is a huge fan. So it was interesting that we bonded over a bunch of things, but definitely bonded over that as well. He knows them much better than I do, and he's a huge fan. So when it was announced the Kids in the Hall were having a new season, and they're all, I think they're in their early 60s now, I expected it to still be kind of funny, but, you know, sometimes aging comics, they're still drawing from the same kind of tired material, and they're good, but they're not great. So the boyfriend was all super excited about this. I was mildly excited about it. I didn't tell him that, but I was like, I was skeptical. Yeah, I finished watching it today on Amazon Prime. They did stick with the old format, but it is hilarious. It is completely raunchy. There is, like I said, it's the opposite end of the story of the life of Jesus. It's very disturbing in some parts. There's total male full frontal nudity. There are themes that are, I wouldn't have them near any children whatsoever, ever. The themes, not the men. I think some of them actually have kids. I'm not saying that they're bad guys. I'm just saying that their comedy is raunchy. It is off the hook. So, but I loved it. It was really great to see. They actually make fun of the fact that you can't say or do anything, this cancel culture crap that goes on. They make fun of that. It's very sort of inside baseball, jokey with themselves. Sometimes they're themselves in the show, which is what they've done in the past. And they really, they not only is it fully modern, but it's fully modern while also kind of giving a nod to the past. It's really, really well done. And I'll just say this. This is completely highly inappropriate, but the segment on the making the last glory hole a national monument had me very nearly crying while I watched it. As I said, highly inappropriate, not for children. Don't let your grandma see it, but very, very, very funny. So I can't recommend Kids in the Hall, the new era, enough. And you know, now you know a little bit about me. Like, I like some of the, I love a good dirty joke, man. I really do. So, yeah. I also like the story of Jesus. So, I don't know what to tell you guys. Sorry. sometimes, you know, I'm family friendly, and sometimes I'm not. Okay. Moving on very quickly, there's one more thing I want to talk about today. Netflix has just announced that they are going to be laying off 150 staff who were the most vocal about, you know, sort of the social justice woke ideology, pushing it. Remember, Netflix had Anti-Racist Baby, a series, you know, that Ibram X. Kendi wrote, a children's book series, and they turned it into an animated series. And I have a lot of problems with Ibram X. Kendi because I just don't think that he's not a scholar in any way. He doesn't really back up his assertions of everything is racist with anything scholarly. And when you really get deep into it, he's just kind of a Marxist. He's kind of a critical race theorist. So I'm not a fan. So Netflix pushed things like that. They pushed, remember that weird thing about Cuties where it was really kind of uncomfortably sexualizing young girls. I mean, Netflix has kind of been on the cutting edge of some of this stuff. Well, they are backing way off because their revenue has dropped and their subscriber numbers have gone down. And they basically put out a statement saying to their employees, like, if you don't like this, you can go work somewhere else, which is, that's pretty much the way it should be. I mean, now that we know a little bit more about what's been going on at Twitter, and if you haven't seen some of Project Veritas's videos, you really should check those out because they're not only telling people, like, this is how you should think and we're going to censor conservatives and we don't believe in free speech. Those things come out of these guys' mouths in these Project Veritas videos. They're also talking about how they don't really work. They're not really, they don't believe in capitalism. Okay, now, what does that make them? But they don't really work if they don't feel like it. They're not really interested in profit, things like that. Well, I think that was going on at Netflix as well. So, and I'm not a, you know, as my boyfriend said, a Wild West capitalist. I mean, I think that some regulation of the market is okay. People that are behaving poorly, throwing up barriers to entry, bad business practices. We do some of that stuff. Certainly don't believe in like child labor. I mean, we've had to work this stuff out as we've gone along. So, but you know, but the idea of like working to make profit, I don't have a problem with that. Well, apparently people at Twitter did. And I wonder if that's what happened at Netflix a little bit. So So yeah, Netflix, I guess, has finally decided that their bottom line actually matters to them. So I expect, and I'll leave you with this thought, I expect that a lot of businesses are going to come out and say, these woke sort of boardrooms, these companies with woke boardroom culture, in the next couple of years, I expect them to do what Netflix is doing, backing off from that quite a bit. And I expect that they're, I may have mentioned this in a previous show, that they're justification for why they did it, and their explanation to everyone is going to be that they felt bullied into it, that they felt like they were, and that's probably fair. It's not a great explanation though, because they didn't fight back, they didn't put up a fight at all, they just kind of went with it, which is fairly cowardly, right? And they left it to just the average person online to kind of deal with this stuff and to push back on places like Twitter. And these huge corporate interests with all of this weight behind them couldn't manage to do that themselves. So they're going to start saying, you know, oh, we were bullied into it. You know, maybe the party that was in power made us, you know, fearful that we were going to face undue regulations or burdensome regulations, things like that, whatever it may be. Employees being canceled online, threats to people like, look what they're doing to the justices. The marshals had to go out there and protect them because they're credible death threats to the SCOTUS justices because of this, you know, potential returning abortion back to the legislature in the states. So it's not an unfair thing for some of these businesses to suggest, like, we were bullied and we were afraid, so that's why we adopted some of this woke ideology. But it's also not enough of an explanation, because your average American pushed back. I saw it all the time on Twitter. Elon Musk is pushing back, and he's taking a lot of hell for it. They're coming for him. But he's doing it, and God bless him, and carry on. You know what I mean? It will be good to see them dropping some of this. You're already seeing people like Jeff Bezos criticizing Biden, because I think he sees the writing on the wall as well. It's really cynical that they did this. It's cynical that they're coming out now and saying, oh, we were bullied into it. Now we're getting tough with it because our revenues are dropping, which tells you that they actually always were, in fact, capitalists. Okay. Which is actually a good thing. sorry, Marxists, I like capitalism. I don't think your ideas about rule by committee work very well. And inefficiency work very well. So expect this to happen more and more. I think it's probably going to be a snowball rolling down a hill, Netflix being the first. I think Twitter is also. I do think Elon is going to make the Twitter purchase. I think he's going to negotiate. He's either going to get them to go down on the price, which they're insisting they won't do, or they're going to be facing some fines from the SEC, because I think they've overvalued their product. They're having to make some decisions in Twitter, but I think ultimately Elon will buy. I talk about him like I know him, Elon, like we're buddies. I think he will end up with Twitter, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. So I feel like I've just talked your faces off, so I'm going to stop now and leave it there. In a couple of weeks, I'll be back. Hopefully, there will be some interesting things to talk about. I didn't keep this as short as I had hoped, but you know, when I say that at the beginning of the show, this one's going to be short. It never is. So thanks for sticking with me, guys. It was kind of slow out of the gate today, so I hope it ended up interesting for you and you stuck with it. As always, be kind to yourselves. Be kind to each other. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Be tough. Be strong. Be fearless. And I hope you have a great weekend. Take care.
There's a joker on the loose from the psychiatric ward. His face is up on a bulletin board with a report. He'll stab you with a sword. Don't be fooled.
The FCB Radio Network. First-class broadcasting worldwide.